We're afraid of so many things. There's so much fear in our lives. What's interesting in the text is they don't treat fear all that much. Largely because there's no one kind of fear. There are many different kinds of fear. And the texts analyze them out more in terms of fear associated with greed, fear associated with anger, fear associated with delusion. Now, if there's greed for something or passion for something, there's the fear that either you're not going to get it or there's fear that you're, once you've got it, that you're going to be deprived of it. So if we want to understand that kind of fear, you have to understand the greed. You have to understand the passion. There's fear that's based on anger, related to anger. And then there's the fear of the unknown. And so you have to analyze the fear not so much as one single solid thing, but as a component of many different factors to see which part of the fear is dependent on the greed or passion, which part is dependent on the aversion, and which part is dependent on the delusion. Like aversion, many times we know that if a certain thing happens it's going to hurt, we're going to suffer, and we're averse to it, so we're afraid of it. And there's a whole area of delusion where we don't know. There's the unknown out there. That can range from anything from fear of a ghost in the next room or a strange person in the next room to just general existential angst, the sense that something is required of you and you don't know what it is. Oh, and human experience seems like a huge void. Something very alien. And there's a big sense of fear that maybe there may not be any meaning to all this or any purpose to all this. That it's just plain old suffering. So it's important you divide out the different kinds of fear, because you have to work not so much on fear as a solid thing, but as a component of many different factors. Unless you dig down to the different factors, you won't know what kind of fear it is. You won't be able to get to its root. Now, fear is complicated by the fact that it's such a physical emotion. When fear arises, there's all kinds of reactions in the body. The heartbeat can speed up. Stomach juices sometimes get churning, other times they don't. We often confuse the physical reactions for the mental state. In other words, there may be one flash of fear that goes through the mind, and then it settles back. But it sets into motion a huge series of physical reactions that sometimes will take a long time to settle down. And because they don't settle down right away, there's a sense, well, I must still be afraid, because here are all the physical attributes of fear. So the first thing in dealing with fear, especially strong fear like this, is to separate the mental state out from the physical state. Some people say they have no trouble reasoning out of the fear, but they're still afraid. Well, you have to separate, again, the physical side of the fear from the mental state, because if you're in a state of mind when you're reasoning through the issue, the actual fear itself may be gone. And what seems to live on, or seems to be unwilling to go away, is the physical side. And of course it's going to take a while to go away, because all these hormones have been churned into your bloodstream, and it's going to take a while for them to wash out. So your first line of defense is to learn to know when there's fear just in the mind and when there's no fear in the mind, but there may be the signs of fear in the body, so you don't feel so overwhelmed by the emotion. You breathe as best you can through the manifestations of fear, the tension, the feelings that come with that shortened breath, or the constricted breath that comes with fear, and consciously expand it, open it up to counteract the physical side. And at the same time, ask yourself exactly what is the fear? What is it that you're afraid of? What's being challenged? Where do you feel weak? What is the danger? Learn to take it all apart. Because a lot of the fear is confusion. You don't know exactly what you're afraid of, or you don't know exactly what to do. It seems like all the avenues are closed. And you can't analyze what's going on. So you have to sit down, if you have a chance to sit down, or at least mentally make a note, exactly what is it you're afraid of here? Learn to look at the fear, not as something that you are feeling, but something that just simply is there. And try to look at why it keeps shouting at you over and over and over in the brain. Now, the fears that are neurotic are the ones that are relatively easy to deal with. Those are the ones that psychotherapists can handle. You know, a fear is unrealistic, and the treatment is to simply look at the situation for what it really is and confront it. Try not to avoid it, but actually go into the situation and learn that it's not as bad as you thought it was, or as bad as you thought it would be. It's simply based on some sort of childish avoidance. You had a really bad experience as a child, and you have an instinctive way of avoiding that particular issue, that particular feeling. And it's gotten to the point where it's totally unrealistic. And so you learn to watch it. Learn to put yourself in a situation that will bring up that fear again, and watch this junction between the fear and the actual situation. When you begin to see what the situation is, the fear gets calmer, gets weaker, more and more manageable. What requires a deeper practice is dealing with realistic fears. One of the members of our community lived through the Korean War, came to the States, became a psychotherapist, and as part of her training, she had to undergo psychotherapy. And after a couple of years of psychotherapy, the therapist said, "Well, it looks like your fears are very realistic. There's nothing I can do for you." This is where Dharma practice comes in. Facing our realistic fears, aging, illness, and death. These things are real and they do cause suffering. If you don't work down into exactly where the attachment is, and this is what the Buddhist take on fears, there's an attachment, there's a clinging. And the clinging is threatened by impermanence, by stress and suffering, by the fact that these things are outside of your control. And so the purpose of our training here is to learn how not to make our happiness be based on these things that are outside of our control. Because as long as our happiness depends on these things, you're setting yourself up for suffering, setting yourself up for fear. This is how the meditation in and of itself is a way of dealing with the fears, the deeper fears, the realistic fears. When you ask yourself, exactly what does my happiness depend on? And normally people will have a whole lot of conditions that their happiness depends on. And the more you think about them, the more you realize they're totally under your control. The economy, the climate, the stability of the ground underneath your feet. All of which are very uncertain. So what do? You learn to look inside. Try to create a sense of well-being that can come simply with being with the breath, even though this isn't the absolute cure, it's the way there. It's the path there. As you learn to develop a happiness that's less and less dependent on things outside and more an inward thing, something that's more under your control, something you can manage better. And as you work on this happiness, you find that it's not a second best. It's actually better than the kind of happiness that was dependent on things outside. It's much more stable. It's much permeates much more deeply into the mind. In fact, it allows the mind to open up. Because for most of us, the mind jumps around. Where a cat would jump here, it would jump there, and jump all around. And if it's jumping around on unstable things, it's always going to be tense. It lands on something and knows it has to be ready to jump any moment. But when you give the mind something it can stay with for longer periods of time, it can allow itself to relax, it can allow itself to soften up a bit. And it softens up, and this way you find it's easier to know the mind in and of itself, what it's like, exactly where its attachments are, where it's still clinging. And that allows you to go deeper still. And we find that our ultimate fear is fear of death. It's an extremely realistic fear. It's going to happen. And for most of us, it's a huge mystery. And this is where the solution in the meditation comes. The meditation can take you to something that's beyond death, beyond space and time. Because death is something that happens in space and time. But there is something that can be experienced that lies outside of those dimensions. And that's what we're looking for. As one of the texts say, the four reasons people are afraid of death is one, they're attached to their bodies. They know they're going to lose their bodies at death. Two, they're attached to sensory pleasures. They know they're going to lose those. Three, they've known they've done cruel things in the past, and there may be the possibility that there's a punishment for those cruel things after death. And finally, four is basic uncertainty about the true Dharma. Was the Buddha right? Is there really a deathless? As long as you don't know that directly for yourself, there's always going to be an uncertainty, or there's going to be a large amount of ignorance and delusion surrounding death, creating fear. The whole purpose of the practice is one, to get you so you're not dependent on the body. You don't have to cling to the body for your happiness. You don't have to cling to sensory pleasures for your happiness. You train yourself to do good things. You know that you're at least on the right path now. And then finally, you take apart these basic building blocks of experience as you experience them in the state of concentration, form, feeling, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness. You look to see where things are inconstant. Where they're inconstant, you realize they're stressful. You find stress right there. When you look at stress, look at suffering, although at this level it's more stress than suffering, you can ask yourself, what am I doing to cause that stress, to aggravate that stress? You look for the cause, and it's right there in your intentional actions. When you can take that apart, then things open up. Once they've opened up, you realize you've come to something totally different, totally different dimension. It is outside of space and time. And you realize that death can't touch that. And it's only with that direct experience that you say that you can really overcome your fear of death. The only fear you're left with is the fear that you might have lapses of mindfulness where you do something unskillful. So there's still work to be done. But at the very least, in the gross sense of the five precepts, there wouldn't be anything more that you would do that would be unskillful. Intentionally. So this is how the meditation deals with fear. It takes it apart into other emotions, finds the underlying causes in terms of the greed, the anger, the delusion that give rise to the fear and keep it going. And it points directly at the way we pin our hopes on a kind of happiness. It teaches us to pin our hopes not on something that can change and can be out of our control, but place it inward, where it's beyond the reach of things that could harm it. So it's not just a matter of talking yourself out of the fear, it's actually putting yourself in a position of strength, where there really is nothing to fear. So these are a few thoughts on dealing with the emotion of fear as it comes. One, learning to separate the physical from the mental side, so you don't misunderstand what's happening in the body. It doesn't stir you up more and more and more in the mind. And then learning how to focus exactly, directly on the mind to see what exactly is the problem. Where is the sense of weakness? Where is the clinging? Because wherever there's clinging, there's weakness. And that's what fear is all about, that sense of weakness in the face of danger. And then look to see if that sense of danger is realistic or not. If it's unrealistic, there's one way of dealing with it. If there's realistic fears, then there are deeper ways of dealing with it. In this way, you find you can not only just get a handle on your fear or learn to cope with fear, but put yourself in a position ultimately where there's nothing to fear. And that's what makes this practice so special. Freud once said the purpose of psychotherapy is to take people neurotically out of their neurotic suffering and leave them in a position of ordinary, miserable daily life. Ordinary miseries of daily life. Well, Buddhism takes you from the ordinary miseries of daily life and takes you beyond, to the point where there is no misery, there is no suffering. It deals not only with unrealistic fears, but or fears that are way out of proportion, but it deals with the fears that are really well-founded, realistic, and can take you beyond those.